Well, hello, we're back again at Foundry Hotel in downtown Phoenix, and this time I'm with executive chef Akos Szabo, and he is the executive chef, of course, of this new restaurant called Match Cuisine and Cocktails, and I'm going to let him tell a lot about his story to you, but before I do, I wanted to ask you, chef, what's the concept at Match Cuisine and Cocktails, a little bit about your journey to get here?
Sure. So here at Match, our story starts with us picking out two very unique pieces of equipment. When V, our general manager, first reached out to me about a year and a half ago, he said, you know, we're looking at doing a global street food.
And that's Vital.
Right.
We've spoken to him. Okay.
Vital. Uh-huh. Right. So when we first started talking about this concept, I said, okay, you know what? I wanted, there's a lot of restaurants that have a wood-burning oven or a wood-burning grill. And I want to be able to do both and pair all our foods around those two pieces of equipment. So then became street food. So now how can we take the concept of global street food and infuse it so that instead of you're sitting on a milk crate in the streets of Shanghai, you're actually producing something on a wood grill in a restaurant situation. And then the third thing was, if I do this project with you, Vital, I want to be able to support our local market as much as possible. I've been very locally driven here in Arizona. We're very fortunate to have amazing things grow in our backyard. Sometimes seafood is not a commodity here because we're in the desert. and water sometimes during parts of the year is not in abundance. But the soil here is great, and with a great amount of water, anything will grow here. So it's just that.
Oh.
So we started marrying global and local, and we came up with Glocal. And Glocal just basically is global street food with as many Arizona and local ingredients as possible.
Oh.
And then we broadened our local
radius
perimeter.
Or,
yeah, and we said, you know what, if you can basically drive there in the day, that's where our limits are.
Oh, that's
and
good.
So
we
stick very close to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so our food basically derives flavors, colors, textures from all over the world, done with as many local Arizona ingredients as possible, being sustainable, treating Mother Earth with respect so that we get, she keeps providing us with great ingredients to work with. Even down to our hood system, that we take water from the city, it cleans itself with almost zero chemicals, so we're returning to the city almost the same water we took from it.
Now, I wanted to know a little bit before we move on to some of the cuisine about your journey to get here. If you can just tell us a little
sure.
bit of the highlights.
Sure. You know, I am not one of those chefs that says, oh, from the time that I was two, I wanted to be a chef. My father's Hungarian, my mother's from Central America, from Guatemala, so there was good food in our family. But it never really interested me. I used to play around with mixing different spices and scrambled eggs and stuff like that, but I was always a smeller. For me, it was always, I wonder what that smells like. So when I was in high school, the girl that I dated all through high school and I wanted to get a job at a restaurant to get out of a little town in Indiana where we lived. And my application for a front-of-the-house server got put into the wrong basket, and then they said, oh, you're here applying for the cook position. I said, nah, not really, but yeah, I'll try it.
Uh-huh.
And I just fell in love with the business side of it. And 2 months later, I was expediting, and all right, let's go on table 43, corn for ta-da. And then I just, one of the cooks that worked there with me worked at a nicer kind of high-end restaurant with the wood-burning pizza oven and whatnot. And from then, my career just, you know, I knew at that point that I just loved to cook.
Yes.
And that it became very natural for me. Colors, textures, flavors, mixing different things that I would never, you know, necessarily mm-hmm. mix. And then throughout my career, just, you know, I came back to Arizona to do finish culinary school out here.
Oh.
And the chef at Mary Elaine's at the Phoenician at the time will say to this day that it was only two or three letters, but I wrote him probably 15 letters. Like, I want to work, if I'm going to go to culinary school, I want to work at the best restaurant in Arizona. At that time, it was Mary Lane's at the Venetian. So I did my externship there with him, and fast forward to 6.5 years later, I was the only cook that he took to go open up the Montage in Laguna Beach, which was the second property that I ever opened. And that's where Vital and I met. He was the director of rooms there, and that's, so we've known each other since we opened that property in 2003.
Oh my gosh.
So that's how we made our connection.
I see.
And, you know, not married to this person any longer, probably because of what happened, but we went as a wedding gift to Spain for 10 days.
Oh.
And I did not get back on the plane. I stayed for 10 months and learned how to press olive oil.
Oh my gosh.
And it caused us to separate. But,
but
it's a great story.
The olive oil didn't separate.
Right, exactly. The olive oil has stayed with me for this whole time.
Whoa.
And so, and then in there, it just changed even. That was when I realized, you know what? This is how people should eat. It's smaller, rich portions that you sit down on a table of 30 people you don't know and you start sharing spoons and stand up on the table and pour yourself cider or someone down the table is drinking some white wine that maybe you haven't tasted and before you know it, it's in front of you and singing songs and it changed the way I look at food and it changed the way of how people should eat.
Yes.
Growing up for us, it was always important that no matter where we were, we'd always sit down and have dinner together. And we grew up with not a lot, so it was black beans and rice and maybe some fried plantains with sour cream. And then on the weekends, my mom would buy protein, whether it be meat or fish or whatnot. So we, part of the what inspires me and has brought me to this label, level is that I just look at food differently, not because we went to Spain and not because of culinary school, but also because I know what it's like to not know where your next meal is going to come
goodness.
From. So my motto has always just been never underestimate the power of a single meal, whether it's for a homeland person or someone having, you know, risotto with shaved white truffles. It means something to that person. And so that's kind of the fourth element for us. Looking at food on the people dining in our restaurant could have saved up for 3 months to come and eat with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or just won the lottery and want to order a steak for everybody. Either way, that meal is, it means something to somebody.
Ah,
so for me, that's very important to in how we cook, not just serve and how somebody consumes a food product.
Well, I think that your menu is so unique. There are powerful flavors put together here. You want to talk fusion of flavors, fusion of ingredients that are from different places put together in a unique way. This is the place to come and try them. You came by our table, very graciously stopped in the middle of service, which was crazy the night of the party that was held here at Foundry for the grand opening, and you cooked us something fantastic tableside with salmon. Could you just describe this, the flavors in that? Because it's great.
Sure. So that was something that was not on the menu, and I always like to, I like to take something. So in this case, it was a Baca Frost salmon belly. So this is a fish that is from very cold waters, from the Faroe Islands, you know, west of Scotland. And so the water is very cold, so the fat content in the fish is incredible. So anytime we butcher fish, I always save the belly for, because the texture is just so incredible. And so we did a salmon belly that we torched at the table with a little sushi rice, and we made a ponzu sauce with pichu berry. So a ponzu basically is a Japanese citrus sauce. So it's we make it with sugar, water, vinegar, soy. And the soy that we use is Japanese soy sauce that is aged in a bourbon barrel for 18 months. So it has a story to it. For us, every ingredient we use, every technique we use to plate, it all has a story, whether it came from a farm 20 miles away or Japanese soy sauce that ended up being made in Michigan in a bourbon barrel that then was then reused to
flavor the shoyu.
Yeah. So that, and then so the pichu berry is the pichu berry is a berry that's crossed between like a cape berry or a gooseberry and a tomatillo. So it comes actually with the husk, just like a gooseberry would. But the flavor is very sweet and sour. It's almost like, you know, my mouth's salivating as I'm thinking about it. The pichu berry is very sweet and sour and tangy. So it's like pineapple, tomatillo on the savory side, but kiwi to kind of hold it together.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So I needed some sort of acid for that. And so with the undertones of earth, of soy and wood and bourbon, the pichu berry added brightness to it. And it worked out really well. Some kimchi cucumbers and some thinly cut scallion. So all together, you know, fat and earth and your rice and your starch and your acid and your sugar and your sweet kind of all together.
It was an exceptional, probably my favorite part of the evening.
Awesome.
An exceptional dish. And now that you're explaining the ingredients to me, I want it again. But anyway, okay. Chef has got to run down in the middle of dinner service we are. And he's going to prepare something really unique here. The chef's table tonight for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't wait to see what he's going to pull out of his hat, hopefully with the pichu berry. Chef, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome.
Spending time to come up and chat with me